Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's a time to not only reflect on the man, but on our country that was very different than the America that we know today. Reverend Arthur Willis is with the Pentecostal Baptist Church in the Detroit suburb of Romulus. He co-chairs an annual march to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and he joins me now to look back at the past and consider where we are today. Welcome to the program, Reverend Willis.
It's good to be here.
Now, you lived during a time that Dr. King was still alive. Do you think that young African Americans today understand and appreciate just what it took for him to stand up to the system that was very different than what we have today?
Not at all. I think that we're so far away from what Dr. Martin Luther King stood and represent that it's unreal. Those of us that was around when he was alive, our parents, they understand the struggles. But the group under me, my age, the baby boomers, we really don't understand it because most of us was able to get a good education and went to college and then we became very successful. So the struggle kind of been watered down. We reflect back on it on a time like this, but do we really really understand the struggle? I doubt so. Not at all.
What about those that say there was racial inequality then, but it's still around now, and it's essentially maybe in a different form, but it's about the same? What would you say to what racism was like during the time of Martin Luther King Jr.?
I think it's really, I was born in the South. I was raised in Georgia, a little town about 80 miles south of Atlanta. I understood racism, but to me it was is a little bit different. I knew that we had a segregated school. I went to all black school when I was coming up. My elementary school was off to all black school, and there was the white school. It was like that all my life, so I never knew that there was different. A lot of us back in the South really didn't know, understand too much about racism, that we was different because we always was raised up in a certain pattern. We always knew that there was a black school, there was a white school. We always knew there was the black theater, and we went upstairs, and we knew that there was not a lot of black people on the police force. Maybe there was one or two. So we knew that. We knew that was there. We always had plenty. And the thing that's different today, as I see it, as I've grown up and gotten older, is that is the struggles that King died for in the 60s and the 70s. Has been lost, and back then it was like I said again, it was a black water fountain. You couldn't eat at a certain location. Those things has been changed. We've made tremendous impact on. You can now go in any restaurant you want. You can live at any neighborhood you want. It's a lot of change. But the racism, I think, is still undergird. It's still there, and I think more so on both sides. But it's still there.
I want to go back to the killing or the assassination of Dr. King. You actually came to Detroit from Georgia for the first time just ahead of the riots that swept through the city and the country following his assassination on April 4th, 1968. So when you were a teenager at the time, but what was your reaction and of those around you to hearing that Dr. King had been killed?
It was a sad occasion, because here we had someone, and I would think I was like 14 years of age when I came. I left Georgia and came to Detroit. I was around 14, and when I got the news, and I came here in 67, day before the riot, came to my brother's wedding from the South. First time I've ever been out of the South. We've come into a big city, and we hear all this commotion of fire trucks and policemen and people looting, and it was for a little kid out of the South. It was frightening, and also it was fascinating because we in the South, we very seldom see a fire truck, and here I am. I'm seeing army tanks and policemen and people acting and I thought it was for a great cause. It wasn't until later that I found out that it was not. We did what we probably shouldn't have done. But the getting back to the King situation, it was just a sad commentary. I remember every older person, including my parents. Everybody was just sad. It was like someone in our family had passed away. It was just like...
There was a sense, though, that he was in danger, was there not? He certainly had a lot of people that wanted to have him dead.
Well, we used to hear things. You know, being kids back then, you didn't sit with adults. Right? And we didn't have the radio and all the stuff we have now, television, the Internet. And when adults was talking as a kid, you didn't get in that conversation. You had a place. And I think that's one of the problems we've had, especially with the African-American community, is that we've lost some of our values. Mm-hmm. But then when adults is talking, you left the room, or they would tell you to leave the room. But you hear that. You hear people talking, and you knew about what was going on. You knew about racism, but at 14, I understood it, but I didn't understand it.
I'm talking to Reverend Arthur Willis of the Pentecostal Baptist Church in Romulus, a Detroit suburb. Now, these riots, though, they were exactly the opposite of what Dr. King had preached, which was nonviolence. What would he have thought had he seen this reaction to his assassination?
I think he would have been very upset with it, because all we did was tore up our own neighborhoods. I don't think that's the way King would have wanted us to handle things. I mean, and it started from something that was wrong from the very beginning. He's always been about righteousness. I'm not saying he was a perfect man, but he always been about doing the right thing. And then after the riot, we actually destroyed our own neighborhoods, which we have not been able to rebuild from this day. It really served no purpose. Back then, I thought it would do a great job, but as I got older and really understood it, I don't think King would have been pleased with that at all. Because what we did was we destroyed the very evidence of family and neighborhood stores and small businesses. We just destroyed all of that for nothing.
Well, and there was so much that happened after Dr. King. There was the urban areas, there was a drug epidemic, a spike in crimes. Do you see that as something separate from the riots, or did all that come from the riots that occurred after King was assassinated?
I think all that was a combination of it, after King was assassinated. The one thing that we really lost when King was assassinated, as I got older, is that we lost a leader. In almost every faith there has been, or every community, there has been someone has stepped out to be that leader. When King passed and King left off the scene, we then split to a lot of different leaders. Where we was focusing on either you was a militant part, you focused maybe with the Malcolm X movement, or you was with the nonviolent movement, as Dr. King, which was a sweeping movement, because it wasn't just a movement of black people. There was a movement was Jews and Gentiles. There was whites. There was black. There was a lot of people in that movement because of what it stood for. And then the riot came about. We just tore up things, and we tore up our own communities. And then after that, we brought drugs in because everything just started coming in. And then we started making money from that. And it became a big business for people, and it just messed up our family, messed up our communities.
You say there's been no leader like King since. I mean, is there anyone that's even close to what he represented to the African American community, I guess the question is, why do you think there has been no second leader of his caliber?
Selfishness. Every leader now is in it for themselves. They preachers, and I'm one of them. So. Preachers, it's selfish. It's about self. We should have pulled our forces together back then. We had this other leadership conference, and then we lost that. Then we split, and then we brought another group came about and brought theirs. Another group came about and brought theirs. So we kind of lost. Mm-hmm. We kind of lost that sense of leadership. It was everybody was about doing their own thing. And then you have this group and that group, so we lost that one group. It was Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Everybody was pulling towards that one group. And when you break that group up, you lose the power structure.
Do you think if Dr. King were around today, do you think he'd still have the kind of influence he used to have, or would it have essentially kind of filtered out as other leaders came around and other viewpoints were included?
That's a twofold question. First of all, I'm not sure if he could possibly be around. And what he was talking about, what he was doing, there was a lot of people now would not like him to be here. But if he was around, I don't think he would be happy. I think he would still be a great leader. I don't think he would be influenced, because I think even back then people tried to buy him off. And I thought he had a mission bigger than him. And when you have a cause larger than you, and you know that you're not doing it for yourself, because he didn't get no glory and fame out of it. There was no money coming to his pocket. He's not rich. His family's not rich behind it. So I think that he would have kept going that route. I don't think he would have gotten off into what we enter today, is that we're looking at the dollar, the figure, dollar amount, more so than we are looking at who we're helping. And I think that's the difference. I think he would have said what he was doing.
Do you think nowadays, with the circumstances African Americans face, if he were to have an opinion on where the community needs to be focusing, would it still be on equality issues, or would it be on something perhaps different?
I think it'd be totally something different. I think what King did back then made a tremendous impact on the government, and then the government had to move, and the civil rights made a big, tremendous movement where we have lawyers, we have doctors, we have business people. I think the problem we have now is black people themselves. I think we have a problem. We can't blame the government for something we're not doing ourselves. We include my generation, and I look at how I raised my five kids, a lot differently than my parents raised me. And I think I probably messed them up in one hand and helped them in another. My parents was teaching us values and respect, morals, and we taught our kids to get an education. They went to college. Four of my five went to college, got a degree, and now they have good jobs. They're okay. Their struggle don't hurt them in a different way like it did when we was coming up. So now they don't reach back. And I think that's where we're at. We are the race of people. We're not reaching back to put back into the community what our parents put into the community. Because everybody now is doing it for themselves, and then we lost that respect. So then what happens is that our children don't know respect. And when our children don't know respect, we get a city like we have in the city of Detroit or almost any of the cities where there's predominantly black people at, is that we don't love each other.
Do you think ultimately, though, that life opportunities here in America for African Americans are far more available now than they were during the time of Martin Luther King?
I think the opportunity is far more valuable. I think the opportunity is just tremendously evident because of a black president. I think that's tremendously has been a real tremendous blessing. But I think that the problem that we don't have is the value and the respect among our own race. I think that's worse than it were 40 years ago.
Reverend Arthur Willis with the Pentecostal Baptist Church in the Detroit suburb of Romulus. Reverend Willis, thank you very much for your time. Very interesting conversation.
Thank you, sir.